Accession number 27785, Mr. John Gant, Reel 4. Now, we were talking about your time at HMS Collingwood, and you'd come to the guard. Where you had the ceremonial guard.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about that. Are there any preparations? What actually happened when you were on it?
Oh, yeah. You have a week under instructions and going through the motions to make sure that you get everything right. And it's when the band, Royal Marine Band, plays the national anthem, and we have to have a white belt and white anklets. And at the command, the right command and timing, sort of counting with yourself, you present arms. And you present arms to the flag. Royal Naval flag is up there, masthead. And you present arms and you have to be able to hear it, like the rifle up in the position, slapping hand on where the belt is on the rifle, and then step back and your foot behind, and then you stay stationary until the band is finished, then you back to as you were position, and then you have to march off the parade ground, and then you get rid of all the accessories you've worn for that particular purpose, and that's your job. You're doing that a week beforehand to get drill, you know, make sure you're getting it just exactly right. And the Commodore takes a salute. I couldn't tell you his name, I can't remember his
doesn't
name.
Matter. Doesn't matter.
No.
You said you don't remember names, that's all right.
Yeah.
Now, anything else? But was there a passing out parade when you finish? Or am I jumping? Is there anything else before we get to passing out parade? Actually, I haven't asked you about the canteen. What was the canteen? I mean, the naffy. What was that like?
Oh, the naffy. Oh, yeah, that was a that was first stop after dinner. Every dinner, there's still room for more. So you've got a few coppers in your pocket, so you go up to have a cup of tea if you want one, but mostly it's fill up with naffy buns. At night, you could go in and if you was allowed ashore, was your watch was in starboard and port watch.
Even when you were at Collingwood.
Yeah, and different sections were allowed ashore, free leave, back by 10 o'clock, though. And if you was late, you'd be stopped at the gate, and that's it, take your name, and you'd be in the rattle again. So we made sure that you at the pub.
Now, what would you do on a night out? Would you go to Fareham? Where would you go?
Yeah, down into Fareham. Or Saturday afternoon, if you were on shore leave, then you could go down to South Sea.
Portsmouth. South Sea's part of Portsmouth, is it?
Yeah. It's a seaside resort. on its own, but used to go there.
What would you do?
Have a walk around, see the sights, if there was any to see.
Would you go drinking much? I mean, you're only young lads, but I mean, would you?
Well, if you could afford it. It was about tuppence a pint, I think, then. So you could afford to have a few pints. Because you're sure tonight, and tomorrow you'd be not ashore. You know, you'd be on duty or non-shore leave personnel. I forget how many nights you could have ashore.
Doesn't matter too much. So had you drunk before you'd gone in the Navy? Or did
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I used to have a drink. Yeah, I would have a drink with my dad. Sunday lunch times. We'd go out and have a drink. I wasn't a drunkard.
So you just go out for a social drink. And how did you get on with the locals? I mean, how did they treat you? You must have been used to sailors and training sailors. But
oh, yeah.
Were they friendly?
Yeah.
They treated you well?
Yeah. I had no trouble with anybody at all in my time.
You treat
the locals with respect, because that's their town. So you're just an interloper for a little while, and then you go and more interlopers come in. So I suppose it's rough with the smooth.
Now, unless there's anything else, the next thing would be your passing out parade, if you had one.
No, I don't think I had a passing out. I don't remember a passing out parade. We were given when our time was up, we was given the, I don't know whether it was a week or 10 days, But we got a travel warrant. You were to go down to, I don't know whether we get to Fareham Station or we might have gone to Fareham, or we might have gone to Portsmouth, catch the train to Waterloo, and then Transient tube down to Edgware, then a bus from Edgware to Boreham Wood and home.
And that was, when did you finish? You finished in June 42.
June 42, yeah.
Now, in the next thing, you seem to have gone to Victory Barracks.
That's right,
that's
yeah.
That's Portsmouth, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what do you remember of that? You seem to have been there a month. No, 2 weeks from the looks of it. So.
Yeah. We were into the barracks, and then we went to overflow barracks, which was Nissen Huts in the wood. So although it was classed as barracks, it wasn't the actual barracks. I went one experience there. We put our kit down and given a match number, and usually went to get dinner, and I get to the mess where I'm supposed to be allocated, and they'd eaten it all. So you're a bit drift. You've missed it. So, of course, I think I've got a bar of chocolate and go to the naffy and get a couple of cakes. And then it was... we were in this Nissen hut for a while.
What were you doing? Or were you just nothing?
Nothing, really. No. Just...
So what's the next thing? In July, you get this posting to Dinosaur. Now, Dinosaur's not a ship, is it?
No, no.
Explain what happens when you get this posting in.
I'm just trying to think of... I think we went to Troon. That was all... Dinosaur was a covered a big area.
Is it a shore station?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And was it in the Troon area?
Yeah, it was on the... The ground now is used as a Troon golf course, where they have... Championship golf there.
Now, what were you sent to Troon to do? You were now an ordinary seaman, and while you were there, you become an able seaman, but not for a little while. What were you doing at there?
Well, that was the base for tank landing craft. That's LC
landing craft tank.
Yeah, but they were a tank landing craft, and then we went over to the army way of doing anything, landing craft tank. So that's the army does all that, doesn't they?
So HMS Dinosaur was the base for the LCTs, was it?
Yeah, well, for training purposes.
So what happened?
We used to go. Down out on the landing craft, up and down the coast, and land in forget the name of the island, was an uninhabited island, and we used to beach.
Now, let's go step back a bit. Can you describe a landing craft tank or LCT? Because people don't know what they look like. What were they like?
It's the deck. The superstructure was always at the rear, astern. That included the living quarters, offices. But the main part of it was, I couldn't give you measurements, but there was enough room to get about half a dozen big largest tanks on, and then it had a ramp that weighed 7 tons, and you used to have to raise that, a winch housing either side, left port and starboard, and about 2 men on each winch, and you wound that up by cable, and then let it go when you get the beach, and let it drop. And then they take the tanks off and put them back on, and wind the big door off. It was a name for it, but ramp. Wind them up, secure it. Then you'd drop an anchor as you went in. So that to help you off the beach, you set the donkey engine going, and it pulls you back off the beach.
Now, How many crew were there on an LCT, and what were the jobs?
I think about 12, the average of 12 or 13, I think.
Now, what would you get amongst them, 12 or 13? What were they?
Seamen, stokers, of that 13, we'd be all learning the job.
So how many, would you have an officer or?
Yeah, officer, yeah, petty officer.
An officer and a petty officer? Or
yeah.
Leading seaman? Or?
Well, you just, I'd take a turn at the wheel and obey the instructions from the bridge. Could be, as I want to know it, 4 degrees to starboard, you'd have to turn to starboard, then really say 4 degrees of starboard wheel on, sir, and then that's, then you ring down for speed, you have to telegraph. And you bring down to the engine room. Now there's two engines in there, and there's a stoker on each engine, and he does what you set your full steam ahead, or starboard engine ahead, and the other one. Good. If you wanted a quick turn, you'd read astern, the starboard engine astern, you know, so they used to be able to read that. They had the telegraph down below, so what you telegraphed used to go to them.
So what other duties did you have? You've got winding up the ramp.
Ramp, yeah.
You've got going on the wheel. What else did the ordinary seaman do?
Throw a rope. When you dock, you throw a rope to secure the vessel. But ashore in the camp, you'd have physical training. There was army and air force in this camp at the well as well, so it was really a combined operations place, you know.
Now, what were the practice exercises like on this island? I can't think of the name of it either, but they can look it up. It's near Troon. What were the landing exercises like? Can you sort of take us through what it was like?
Well, you'd beach and drop the ramp. Now, if they had a tank on there, they'd run it off. Whether the crew of the tank was in the camp, I don't know, because there were so many, must have been 2,000 or 3,000 men there, you know, so... Then basically, the drill leaving the beach was, you know, whoever was in charge of the anchor that we dropped on the way in, they'd wind that up so it pulled us off. And at the same time, you were in the wheelhouse. Not wheelhouse, winch house, and winding the door up, and then that was maybe all that needed to do, apart from throwing a rope ashore for the vessel to be secured. We never slept on the boat. on.
So tell, what was life like in Troon Camp then? You know, this dinosaur camp.
Yeah. It was called, I think it was called HMS Dan Donald, but I wouldn't be sure because I might get a bit mixed up with somewhere else that was Dan Donald. But we were in a gymnasium with camp beds. And then they shift us from there into huts. And you had different people before we got to know each other. There was only about two, I think, come up to Troon from Portsmouth. Yeah. From HMS Victory, yeah, for the... Then you used to get all sorts. I had, first time I've ever experienced it, I got body lice. Two or three of us. We went to the cinema in there. And we went to the cinema and it was itching, you know, scratching. When we got back, I took my jumper off and there was, under the armpits, body lice and eggs. So I straight down to the sick bay and we had to have a bath in special liquid. All our kit used to have to go through a fumigating process, and we found out that the chap that passed the body, he brought the body lice in, and I remember him. I was on the top bunk, and we're getting up one morning, and his leg came out from underneath his blanket, and so Daphne, this, I thought he still got his socks on. His feet were black. So we really reported that, and they sent a couple of petty officers up there, dragged him down, and put him through the mill, de-loused him, made him have a proper bath, and he was kept under observation for quite a while to make sure that he was clean, you know.
And he's the one who spread the lice.
Yeah, yeah, must have been, yeah. Because they found them on him.
Now, any other duties you were doing while you were ashore? I mean, you'd go out on the LCTs, you have exercises landing on this island.
Yeah.
Anything else you were doing while you were at Troon?
Yeah. PE instructor used to have us out on the parade ground and stripped to the waist, and it says very, very cold. And they had logs there, about six of us either side, swinging this log. And that was supposed to be toughening us up. We got used to frost anyway. It was really cold for that.
Anything else you were doing there?
I fell out with a PE instructor because he wanted to. He had this lined up and he said, boxing. We're going to get a team and we're going to challenge the RAF or the Army to a boxing competition. He said, I should want volunteers, and if I don't get any volunteers, I will say you, you, and you. So I said, no, I said, you can't do that. why can't you do that? I said, you can't tell me I've got to go in and dish out physical punishment or accept it. So he reported me to the officer, officer of the watch. I went in front of him, and he told the... I explained how I felt. I said, if I want to volunteer, I'll volunteer, but I'm not compelled to do it. So he called this peer instructor, and he told him in a quiet way, you know, that he was in the wrong, and he dismissed the charge for me being insubordinate to him. And he caught me outside, and he said, he said, I'll have you in the boxing ring. He said, against me. I said, oh, no. I said, he got muscles on his muscles, you know, when he was such a big, big bloke. And I said, you're taking a chance against me, aren't you? I said, challenging me. I says, I'm not going to challenge you to anything. So that went by the board. Now, that was one of the things outstanding about Troon, that all the lads said, you know, well done. They said, they'll volunteer. If we want to do it, we'll volunteer. But not being told, you've got to do this and you've got to do that.